Osaka Real 7. After Hospital Hill, where did you go to then?
We were relieved by the Coldstream Guards.
And was that a night relief? Was that carried on during the night?
Daytime. And I remember one of the signals, one of the guard signalers, he fainted as he was taking over. And we went for this rest, which was 2 or 3 days.
And what were you doing resting? I mean, it would not be a perfect rest.
Well, we got certain guards and things, and we did very little, but we were there just about 2 or 3 days. And then he gave us a pep talk on what we were going to do.
Was this Preston?
Preston, yes. And we were going to go through the Coldstream Guards up to what was known as the Vietri Defile. It was the opening between the two mountains, and then we were carrying on from there. Well, we seemed to be walking for a very long time, and I kept getting worried about the set. I said, we're going to be out of range here if we keep go any further, but we kept going and going, and eventually we came to this country off the main road, and then this country leading up towards the mountains. We came to that, and suddenly the Germans opened up and became under real heavy fire.
Was it shell fire?
No, machine guns. So we dived into a, I did, and dived into a shallow ditch with the side. It was just about, maybe it's a foot deep, where everybody got into the ditch. And then for the first time ever, the set wouldn't work. And trying, kept coming over. Have you got that set going yet? Couldn't get it going. Well, right opposite, on the other side of the road, this was dark, you know, was what appeared a tiny bungalow. So I said, well, because we couldn't shine a light on it, because we were being fired on. So I said, can we go the road into this little house? So they said, yes, and get that set working. So went into the house, and had no roof on it, and being bashed. It was like a little porch you went into, or a porch and kitchen, and a bedroom. And I always remember the bed. It was on a lily white sheet on it, you know, and it looked lovely. The first thing I did is put the set down and went and lay on the bed, you know. Then I thought, God, if the Germans come back and run to some officer or something. So I started cleaning the bed. So we were in there, and you can see the tracer flying over the custom part of the roof missing, you know. And went and tried to get the set working, couldn't get it working. And in the end, I just gave up and locked the set up. And then it seemed to go very quiet. So I thought, I wonder what's happening. So I went out and I crawled across the road back to the ditch. I couldn't see anybody at all, and I didn't know whether they'd gone forward or backwards. I says, hey, we're in a crisis here. I says, I don't know whether they've gone forward or they've gone back. So I went back in there, wondering what to do. And then we heard these footsteps, you know, and his voice saying Tedeschi, which is Italian for German. Tedeschi, Tedeschi. And then come in, and it was CSN Wilson, Sergeant Major Wilson. And he says, right, he said, got there and I found you were missing. He'd come back on his own. Just come in, tiny little. And he come in and he says, come out here very quietly. And so we went down, practically tiptoeing down, just the three of us and the CSM Wilson. Then we crossed the disused railway station, line, disused railway lines, and we crossed them, and then went into the field, and there was a big ditch, and we got all got in there. It was still very dark. Then we tried to get a sleep or something, tried to get the set working. Then eventually got it working. I don't know whether it was screened up there or what, but I got the set working. I remember Ronnie Elliott was getting really turned off by Colonel Preston. You must get through on that set. And I just had it closed down, you know, and anyhow got it working and everything. So we were all really very hungry, you know. We were in this ditch, then we heard this vehicle coming up. To my surprise, it was the cooks, which he says, it's crazy what these are doing. They're coming right in front of the enemy. And so we started getting the pans out, panniers, and that with bacon in and porridge and stuff like that, and putting them down. But I said, oh, we're going to have some of this leg. So we rushed out. And I said, I knew what was going to happen. Within 2 minutes, shells were dropping behind the. So the coup started getting the panniers to put them back, and we grabbed them to get stuff off, you know. And they got the stuff in, and they pulled back. And I remember dashing back with my 2 pans. I'd got quite a bit of stuff. Dashed back with my 2 pans. And Stan Clark, he was with me, he dived in, but he got shot in the legs as he went over. Like, I got down with my porridge. Managed to save the lot, and we had a breakfast. So we spent the rest of the day until it got dark.
You were still with battalion headquarters at this time?
No, I was with A Company.
Oh, you're back to A Company?
Yes, that's right, I was with A Company. Because Ronnie Elliott was at battalion headquarters, because he was getting wrong for not getting through to me. And then we attacked. We went through the Scots, the Coldstream Guards, up to the Vietri D file. No, we've been through all that. What happened then?
Well, there were certain objectives which you were heading for. The Germans on the top of the mountain.
Oh yes, we attacked again.
Do you recall that attack? Because it was one where Colonel Preston didn't ask for artillery bombardment prior to it. It was a silent.
It was a silent attack. Oh, that was absolutely right. No. And
and you would have this objective up on the mountains, presumably, or at the top, or that would be what you're aiming for.
That's right. We attacked it. Right now, we went up and we attacked it. Well, we didn't attack, we went up there before it got light, and we got into position behind some kind of small hills, got into position there. And then it got a good daylight, and we were all sitting there. And we'd had some reinforcements come from the 8th Army. There'd been a bit of a rebellion on the seafront, but anyhow, this corporal was here. I think he was a full corporal.
And these were men that had actually took part in this rebellion that were sent to you?
Yeah, those that wanted to come, others were put on a prison cage or something on the thing, on the beach. And anyway, we're sitting and I saw this young, well, not young, he was older than me, this corporal. And I said, oh, yeah, he said, they come from the 8th Army. I says, how long since you've been home? In 6 years since he'd been home, because he'd been with the regular army and that. And anyhow, we got ordered to attack, but not a full company, just a patrol to attack, and he was one of them. And as I said, I'd been chatting to him, a really nice fellow, you know. I saw him sitting by himself, looking a bit lonely, not knowing anybody. And he was the first one killed, you know, and he got killed. And we all went over and that in and we took our objective.
And as I say, this didn't have any artillery support. You went in quite silent.
Yes, and we took the hill.
But moving up to the final objective, when you're doing the attack, where would you be in relation to the attacking platoons?
Well, I'd be with headquarters, company headquarters, just behind them, really, you know, with my set, with the signals.
And obviously you would have signals to send off. What were you being told to send off?
Why, anything the company commander told me, which I can't remember, of course, you know, different messages, you know.
Who was a company commander at that time?
I think it would be Mitchell. I think he was the company commander then.
And was he a good officer?
Yes. Then we had Russell Collins. He was Winkler Collins. He was brilliant. And he was a platoon commander, you know. And Russell Collins, that's it.
And the platoons moved ahead of you. Did you have heavy casualties taking the objectives?
No, I think about just about 4 or 5 killed. Odd ones wounded. Couldn't tell you exactly.
Attacking up presumably quite a steep mountainside, couldn't have been that easy.
No, well, we got up there pretty easy, and the rest of the attack. Oh yeah, it was a steep climb because with the climb had been on the night before. That's right. We got up, and it was pretty steep. But anyway, we took it, you know.
How did you move? Was it in a line?
Line, yeah.
It's going straight forward. Mm-hmm. World War One type of thing.
And then we spread out a bit, you know.
So Colonel Preston was certainly influencing the tactics of the British battalion.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
But when you got to the objective, were there many German casualties on the top?
Oh, we took a few prisoners. I can't remember the casualties, but we did take a few prisoners.
And what were they like, do you recall, when you saw them? Mm-hmm. Were they young, old, demoralised, or ardent Nazis? Or?
I always found them very cool when they were caught, you know, and that was it.
They didn't give you any trouble?
Didn't give us any trouble. No, we didn't have any trouble of them. I don't know, I can't remember what would happen. They'd go straight back, you know, I wouldn't see where they were going to.
Do you have any other memories of that particular attack on the defile? Any stories that are in your mind?
No. I'm trying to remember where we went from there.
Did the company, in your case, did the company move forward with plenty of energy? There wasn't any great reluctance, was it, to go in?
No. The morale, it was a very good company, and I think Sergeant Major Wilson and Russell Collins, they were really good, you know.
When you got the objective, had you more fighting within that area? I think one of the plans was to open the defile so 7th Armoured could get through towards Naples, which had this road, as you say, running between the mountains.
That's right, yeah. I can't remember what happened after that.
The next objective in the middle of October would be the River Volturno.
That's right, yeah, I've got it here. The River Volturno, yes.
What are your memories of that?
Well, I can remember we were marching, well, we were not marching, we were marching to the and we were going across further. A company was the assault company. That was the company I was with. And the Nebelwerfers had just come into being then. And I still remember as we're going up there. But I became an expert on the Nebelwerfers. I used to enjoy seeing them dive down. I could tell if I'd dive if it was coming at you. You'd hear the sound if it was going that way, if they were firing that way. And the only time I'd go down was, I used to enjoy that. Because everybody, they were terrified of, well, yeah, I was, of, what they call Nebelwerfers. And I remember the Nebelwerfers started there, and anyway, everything, nobody was injured, and they didn't come towards us or nothing. So as I said, we were the assault company. And we had a cross for days before the reconnoiter in the river, the deepest part, the shallowest part, and they picked the shallowest part for A company, our company, to be the lead company. And you got a rope tied to one tree, then tied to the other one. And I still can't remember how I got across. I remember getting across or whatever, how I was carrying the set. That was the main thing. I'd hold of this rope.
Were you able to wade over? Were you in
boats? No, boats were further up. We, as I said, we were the assault company. They picked the shallowest part of the river for us to cross. And we were crossing, great, not making a sound. And I'd be up to about here, you know.
Your neck.
Yeah. And holding onto this rope. But the slopes to get onto the top. You've never seen mud like it. It was shiny black. You know, it looked like coal tar. And some people had to get on the top, those who managed to get on the top and pull you. It was, I've never known anything like it. But as I say, we didn't make a sound, you see, crossing.
And this was a silent crossing in
the Yeah, then but further up, we were crossing in dinghies, little dinghies. Then suddenly this lad started screaming. He's a copy lad who were reinforced and he actually didn't belong to daylight because we got all sorts after sedging him. And he was screaming, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. He, oh, so woke the whole German army up. And I thought, oh God, you know, somebody saying, drown, you bugger, drown. Anyway, we got hauled up there and we're covered in this black slime. You've never seen anything like it.
Do you remember his name, this young man?
No. I've often tried to think of his name.
He was with your company, though, wasn't
no,
he?
No, no. See, he was with one of the other companies. The A company was, as I say, was the assault company.
And so you got up the other side.
And we got up the other side and we got in the trees. But he woke the Germans, you see. And we got in the trees, nothing happened. And then we started to move towards... It was like a small hill run, well, it was a ridge run right along, maybe to the height, about the height of here, and it slowed them towards us.
About 8 feet, that kind of thing.
Yes, but kind of slow, you know. And as I say, we come out of the trees, nothing happening, and then we start to move. But the Germans had been walking up. And as we opened up to attack this hill, a small hill, and they opened up. So we're all absolutely flat in there. And the Germans had tracers. You know, I always thought it was a big mistake they made, the firing tracer. Because you knew the height of what was coming, you know. So we're lying flat. You could, even lying flat, you can see the tracer whizzing over your head, you know. And so, CSM Wilson, we're all lying flat. He says that the word go, as soon as the Bren gun opens up, he says, everybody on the feet and charge this hill. So, we're waiting. Then the Bren guns opened up, and then one jammed, and we were on the run then. And we got to the hill, you know, and, and the Germans scattered, you know. We took the hill, we're lying there, you know. Now, I still remember having a smoke there. It was three signals. I had these posh cigarettes, American or something. We're all the three of us couldn't look at the bottom of the hill and smoking, you know. And the Germans come back and they all got on the top again and started firing, but scuttled and took the ridge and everything, you know, all in the clean. We didn't have many casualties at all. Like, you know, when it comes to casualties, I never remember how many casualties we had. But as I say, we took this hill and...
So you move at considerable speed in that final dash.
Oh, it was, yeah. You know, I still remember in Africa, the Arabs used to call to each other from hills far away, yeah. And the Christ be always your home, Muhammad, and we'd adopted that. You know, as we charged, I still remember Webley, he came from Dagenham, a big Cockney lad, and I was saying, shout, and I was your home, Muhammad, he said, your home, Muhammad. Anyhow, we're all screaming this, your home, Muhammad, and as I say, we took the...
Did you go in with Sabina?
No, I had a tonic gun, actually. Oh, yes, yeah, all fixed bayonets. But CSM Wilson went round, and I think one of the officers, I think Moran got, I think he got wounded. I think Mitchell was in the commander, and I think Moran was the second in command. And I'm sure Moran got, one of them, well, it was Moran got wounded. I'm trying to think what happened after we'd taken it.
When you get someone wounded like that in an attack, what is the first thing? Do you call the stretcher bearers? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is that a shout? Do you cry back for them?
Oh, it's what you do.
And presumably they come up whilst you're in position holding it there.
Yeah.
And, could they, and were they taken off the battlefield quickly, the wounded?
I think they did, yes. Actually, I think the stretcher bearers would be happy to get somebody wounded so they get out. That was also my impression. Like, you know, but I mean, it's tough in the city, really. Anyway, I'm trying to think what happened after we came to the World Terminal.
And the Germans obviously pulled out the tent. 21st of October, you went for a rest at Kasselhus. Do you recall that? That was after the Volturno action.
Kasselhus.
Some village or township.
I'm trying to think of it.
You'd obviously done your stuff at the Volturno, and then you again pulled out for a rest.
What was the next attack after that?
The River Tino. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's called Frontalize, or Frontalize, 25th of October, when you relieved the Rifle Brigade. Do you recall that?
That's right, that, yeah.
That's at the Tiano. And again, it was a river crossing.
It wasn't, I don't think it was much of a river. I think it was very, it wasn't very wide. I think before we crossed it, we got into a. We were in a kind of a big barn with no windows or doors in. Or but it never struck me as being much, you know, much of a battle. We crossed it, and that was it. And I think we came back after that to some, I don't know.
Were the Germans leaving boom traps and mines on the, as you went through, as you chased them for?
Well, the only things I saw was grenades and things lying about. I can remember the mines better in Africa than I can in Italy.
Well, it would depend whether they had time to lay them anyway.
That's right, yeah.
But booby traps, they tended to booby trap buildings or whatever.
Yeah, well, I never actually came across any.
Do you recall any action at a place called Angelo, which followed the Tiano?
Mm.
Mm. So, to November now. What were the conditions like? The weather conditions, were they changing? Italian winter coming on.
Yeah. What is it, Tiano? I can't remember much about Tiano.
Well, we can obviously move on if you can't remember much about it. Faces that appear in the history seem to be Angelo, Cessa, place called Cessa.
Yeah, we were in Cessa. We had a real nice time in Cessa, you know.
That was the beginning of November.
Yeah, we had no... It was more of a rest, you know. It was supposed to be the front line, but there was nothing happening.
There was a divisional rest camp at Cancello. Cancello,
uh-huh.
Which may be near to Cessa, of course, if you, in your memory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this was another rest period where, you know, presumably you were cleaning and...
That's right, that's it. It was...
And up to now, certainly you hadn't had too many losses.
No, no.
Where were the drafts coming from? You've mentioned other regiments... Were they coming from the corps as well? Were you getting RSC men and this inner infantry men?
No, we weren't getting that. We were getting like people from the we were heading for another division and things like that, you know. And well, as I say, we had Cockneys in and different ones, you know, that some had been in Welsh regiments and things like that, you know, as reinforcements.
How did they settle in? Because obviously they
oh, they
wanted
to join the Durham. No, they were on about, I want to get back my own battalion and things like that.
Mm. Did you get on well with them?
Oh, yes.
They were okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were quite good.
The winter line, the Germans had what they call their winter line, which was basically you were about facing now. And we're into the Italian winter. What were the conditions of the roads like, the movement?
Oh, really bad. Absolutely muddy, you know. They were sinking in. Everybody complained about sunny Italy and that, you know. That winter was a really bad winter. It was one of the worst winters ever known in Italy, that one, I would say.
Could it keep dry? Or at least change into dry things? We looked after in that sense.
Well, when you used to come to rest, we used to just lie in your trenches, which was snowing, and you know. When I think of now, we did it, you know, lying in snow and stuff like that, you know, tilted with a little trench, you know. But you could sleep anywhere, you know.
Have you any more memories before you moved up to Bear Ass and
Monte Camino? No.
To the Boxburg, Calabrito, Monte Camino.
No.
What do you recall then of those actions? Because they were pretty severe.
I remember the Camino one very well. I think I remember every detail about that one.
Well, can you take me through it?
Yes. Let's start now. Trying to think where we started from. I think we must have been driven to the... Well, before Monte Camino, we got off the vehicles, and then we start to go. That's right. We got to this mountain, which was like our mountain.